responses in Hebrew, because you've mostly heard about Vedana in English. So if you'd like that, make that clear, and we'll prioritize that as well. Yep. Yeah, so anyone who hasn't asked a question in the hall already, we're going to start with you. Yes, please. Thank you. Great. Shall I start? So the question is around... I have a question. So your kind of what's going to be like your foundational practice, in a sense, as we were saying it today, is with the breath and the sounds, with kind of a metta feeling, or you wanted the metta to be the main practice? I didn't actually...
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So, the idea of kind of supporting having the metta as this kind of main practice, which is really great and good practice to do, but also feeling like not so sure about, you know, kind of coming in with sentences all the time. It feels a bit awkward. It feels, not like it's really kind of fully flowing in that practice. So something we've mentioned before is also relevant again here, which is, there isn't really a good description of metta practice from the Buddha's time to here. And along the way, like, people have found ways, including really ancient times, found ways of doing this practice. Bring a being to mind, say these phrases, and then, you know, that's metta practice. And they probably, you know, described it much better than that, yeah? But what it means for us is that we have a general sense of what it means to have goodwill to people we like. Someone who's been nice to me, I feel like, you know, I'm driving my car, someone lets me out, I'm like, hey, that's nice. You know, they were nice to me. If I had the opportunity, I'd do something nice for them. You know, you bought me a coffee, I'll buy you a coffee. You know, and it's like this exchange of goodwill. Now, what we want to see in the practice is, can I extend that to more beings so that I'm the first one to let someone out on the road, or I'm the first one to buy the coffee, and to strangers, to people I don't know, why not give kindness more and more? You know, random acts of kindness, that kind of spirit, yeah? How that then comes about is, it's going to be quite personal, right? For some people, phrases, they're just working, you know, morning, noon, night, it works for us. For other people, they always feel a bit awkward. How we feel it, though, has to be turned into a practice in some way. As you're saying, you know, if it's just really vague, you know, maybe it's not really kind of carrying across. But if you can have a feeling of like what it is that I feel when there's goodwill, what do I feel? That open-heartedness, or that kindness, or that care, you know, whether it's a word, whether it's an image, whether it's a vibration. It's important that we feel it in some way. That's what it is that I want, yeah? For you to feel that you have this, yeah? And so the words that we use are just trying to get us to the feeling. I think it's the feeling of the metta intention that's the thing that we share, which doesn't mean it always feels lovely to do as well. You know, metta practice doesn't always feel lovely, it doesn't always feel connected, it doesn't always feel as precise or as focused. If we've had a real kind of sharp focus kind of practice, it's like, oh, there's none of that in the metta. But the important thing then to say is that's not what we're cultivating the metta for. You know, we're cultivating the metta for more goodwill, kindness in that way. So yeah, how does that sound? Did I get close to the question? Great. Yep.
There are a couple of others that I haven't asked.
Okay.
Anyone
yep.
else who hasn't asked a question yet? Trying to work with or break or change in order to expand ourselves. And then, so the Vedana is, where is it compared to that?
Great.
Okay.
Great. So, yeah, the question relates to a battle between two Pali words, the Vedana and the Sankhara. So it's interesting. Sankhara gets used in different meditation styles, traditions, slightly differently in different ways. The way I view it, Sankhara is a putting together of something, right? So it's a little bit different than what you were describing.
Havnaya. Sankara literally means havnaya. The mashmaut of the mila is havnaya.
Sankara.
No.
Yeah. So it's a little subtly different. And then what you're referring to is something a bit like a tendency to act in some way. Like very, very subtle, not really like act, but like respond to life, react to life. In that way, very, very kind of subtle level thing. And in that case, I would say that, yeah, Vedana is a universal, yeah, subset of tendencies, reactions that we have, yeah, that expresses itself through the other collection of biological, cultural, familial, like coming from our family, you know, tips and tricks we figured out of how to live a life. All of those become tendencies of how to live. And then Vedana gets shaped as it comes into being through those. Yeah. So it's one element that we're kind of paying attention to, that subtle creation space. But it's also something in our definition of Sankhara, that which puts together, that comes with intention, attention, Vedana, perception, you know, all of that, that makes an experience. And we're just focusing on this one element and seeing how much freedom we can get in kind of holding it in a lighter way, and not reacting to the reactivity that's kind of impressed upon consciousness in the appearance of the Vedana. Did that?
Yeah.
Pretty complicated, but. Okay, so there's kind of like two or three practice potentials, but let's just pare it down to two. So the question is, basically, then what do I do? What is Vedana practice? And you gave some kind of examples. But I'll just say what I would imagine helpful to do. One is we're going to overrule the negativity bias that we mostly pay attention to unpleasant Vedanas. That is not reality, right? That's a tendency, the sankhara, as you were using the term, to notice this, right? So we can use it to what I would say, and maybe others say it, like redress the balance, yeah? So for example, you know, we live in mostly a patriarchal, male-based society, so we need to emphasize the women in our community and give them space and encouragement and positions, so that we're redressing that bias that we've had as a culture, as a society. Same thing here. I'm noticing far too many unpleasant things, and there's loads of pleasant things which are getting overlooked. That's not fair. Yeah? So I use the practice, number one, to redress that. I'm going to pay attention to the really subtle things that aren't getting noticed. I'm going to be the kind of being that notices the unnoticed. Or I'm going to be the kind of being who lingers in the beauties that are here and not just constantly like, well, that one I don't like. So you get all my attention. Why? So that's practice number one. Practice number two is this leads to reactivity, story, building, self, other, da-da-da-da. Got to fix you, got to get rid of you, things like that. And so a little bit closer to, like, I think what you were saying, which is like, can we just hold this? Can we just stay with this? And it's like, oh, I get pulled towards, but I'm not going to do that this time. And see what happens. Is it good for me? Is it good for the thing I'm paying attention to? And oftentimes I think we'll find the habitual tendency isn't as liberating for us or for the things we're paying attention to. There's a better way of living, and that's what this second part of Vedana practice opens us to. Yeah. Thank you for that really good clarifying question. Thanks. Okay, we're going here. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll probably need to check the mic because I've just turned it on.
Right.
Probably needs to go up a bit.
Keep talking then.
איך זה? אז עכשיו שומעים, שומעות אותי מאחורה? זה יוצא מהמיקרופון, אם אני בכלל שומעת את זה מהמיקרופון. מהרמקול. יותר גבוה, אוקיי? עכשיו זה טוב? אוקיי, יופי. טוב. אז אני אחזור על השאלה. It's okay for
you? Yeah, please. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just then it means you can't add anything.
Maybe.
אז השאלה, עוד שאלה על תרגול ודנה, על זה שאפשר לראות איך ה... איך הוודנה היא לא קבועה, איך היא משתנה, איך היא לא נמצאת באובייקט, כן, שאליה היא מיוחסת, כן, זה ככה ברור, אבל השאלה היא לגבי הבעלות על הוודנה, זה שזה זה משהו, זה נעים או לא נעים בשבילי, כן, עבורי, כן, מתוך חוויה שלפעמים זה מרגיש שזה פשוט, אוקיי, זה פשוט לא נעים, כן, ואנחנו פחות נרגיש את הבעלות על החוויה הזאת, או את החלק האישי בחוויה הזאת. ודוגמה של, למשל, אצל תינוקות, או נייתן השתמש ביצורים חד-תאיים, כן, שגם להם יש את הדבר הזה כשאין להם את תחושת העצמיות כפי שאנחנו נכיר אותה, כן? יש פחות את התחושה הזאת של הנפרדות מהעולם, ועדיין יש את האינסטינקט הזה, כן, של מה, מה נעים ומה לא נעים, כן, של התיוג הזה. אז אני אתייחס בעיקר לחוויה, כי אני חושבת שזו שאלה מצוינת, וזו שאלה מצוינת לחקור יותר בחוויה האישית שלנו, כן? ולראות, וזה מעניין איפה אנחנו פוגשים אותה, כן? כשאנחנו נשארים, מה שאנחנו קוראים, כאילו נשארות ונשארים ב-level של הוודנה, ברמה של הוודנה, במיקום של הוודנה, בהבניה של החוויה, אז הרבה פעמים, כן? זה גם פחות אישי, כן? חלק ממה שקורה עם התהליך של ההסלמה זה ההבניה של של תחושת העצמיות מסביב לזה, וככל שההבניה יותר בנויה, כן, ככל שזה הופך להיות יותר, I can't remember the phrase you were using, built up, you said, didn't you? Yeah. ככל שזה הופך להיות יותר מובנה, אז העצמיות נבנית עם זה והופכת להיות יותר גסה, כן, ויותר קל לזהות אותה. כמובן שמשהו שאולי לא אמרנו, אבל אולי הוא ברור, אבל כדאי להגיד אותו גם, שהוודנה עצמה היא גם מובנית. זו גם מבנה, אז זה גם לא משהו שהוא קיים, כן, באופן עצמאי ונפרד מצידו, אם נשתמש בשפה שאנחנו משתמשות בה לרקות. ואז ההבניה הזאת אפשר להתחיל לראות למה נייתן משתמש במילה של דעה, או שאנחנו רואים בשבילי, כי התיוג הזה של דברים מסוימים, אפשר מאוד לראות את זה למשל עם טמפרטורה, כן? לחלק מאיתנו, טמפרטורה, מלחמות המזגנים, כן? שיש לנו לפעמים כאן באולם, כן? למישהו אחד קר, למישהי אחרת חם, כן? זו אותה טמפרטורה. למה זה קורה? זה הבניה, כן? זה מהרבה מאוד סיבות ותנאים. מה אני רגילה? איפה גדלתי? מה קורה בגוף שלי? כן? זה מאוד חי אצל נשים, ההורמונים בשלבים מסוימים, הוויסות של הטמפרטורה משתנה, כן? עם הגיל, עם הזמן בחודש, עם כל מיני דברים כאלה. אז אנחנו מתחילות לראות איך גם הדבר הזה שהוא כאילו הרבה פחות מובנה, הוא גם מובנה בצורה מסוימת על פי ההיסטוריה האישית, הביולוגיה האישית, מה שלמדנו, מה שחינכו אותנו וכולי. כן? זה מתחיל, כן? אז באמת ברובד של החווה של התרגול, כשאנחנו פוגשות את זה כאן במקום מאוד ראשוני, זה פחות בולט, נגיד, אבל זה עדיין יהיה שם. ואז ברבדים יותר גסים שזה אפשר יותר לראות את זה. כן? סתם בעדפות, כן? אתמול נייתן נתן את הדוגמה של עוגת שוקולד, כן? אז לחלק מאיתנו לא תהיה לזה ודנה חיובית, כן? אבל זה בשבילי, אני באותו רגע, וזה הדבר הנוסף, באותו רגע רוב העניין הוא אישי, כן? כלפי מי, וזה אפשר לראות, אם נחזור לתינוקות ולחד תאים, זה מתייחס לקיום שלי, כן? זה יכול להיות הרבה יותר הישרדותי, כן? ברובד ההישרדותי, אבל זה מגן או מנסה לשמור או להזין את האורגניזם הזה, כן? ולא אורגניזם אחר. זה עונה לך? תודה. אוקיי, תרימו את כל הידיים של השאלות כדי שנראה כל מי, ובאמת ננסה עדיין ללכת עם הכיוון הזה של מי שעוד לא שאלה, ונראה כמה הזיכרון שלנו גם עובד, כן? יורם, בבקשה. של הוודנה? Okay. That's a great question. I'll translate it into English so that hopefully I'll repeat it in English so that hopefully you can also understand.
Yeah, and then you'll answer in Hebrew.
And then I'll answer in Hebrew.
I know. Yeah. Brilliant. We agree. Yeah.
Okay. ויורם תתקן אותי אם אני לא מדייקת. So the question is primarily about the Vedana practice, but looking at a practice from a wider angle, and saying like yesterday hearing the chafla that was going on and just listening to the gunshots and having a sense that for one person a gunshot is you know, signifies violence, and for another, it's a celebration, yeah. And so, seeing in that, yeah, we can see the Vedana changes according to, conditioning basically. And then thinking about the metta practice and saying, in the metta practice, we are wishing for all beings to be safe, yeah, for mm-hmm. all beings to be happy, for all beings, as if there is some absolute, yeah, thing that is safety. And so, see if I can do justice. אתה יכול לחזור על החלק השני של השאלה? וזה ביחס לתרגול מטה. Okay. So the question around the practice is, what are we actually practicing? Are we just looking at the pleasant Vedana, or are we trying to radiate out something that's absolute, mm-hmm. yeah, in the mm-hmm. metta practice? Yeah? Yeah. So yeah, it's a really, really great question. שאלה נהדרת, יעבור שפה. וככה יש בה הרבה מאוד עידון, כן? אז אני רוצה לקחת את הזמן להתייחס אליה, כמו כל השאלות שהיו לנו הבוקר עד כה. הדבר הזה של לראות בתרגול מטה, כן? שבעצם בתרגול מטה אנחנו משתמשות לתוך התרגול בכל מיני הבניות, כן? הבניה של אני ששולחת, אני מוסיפה דברים שלא אמרת, אבל הבניה של אני ששולחת מטה למישהי אחרת, כן? יש כאן כבר כל מיני הבניות, והבניה של מה אני שולחת, כן? והשאלה באמת, האם מה שאני שולחת זה משהו אבסולוטי, או לא, האם יש דבר כזה בכלל, שהוא יהיה ביטחה עבור, יתפרש כביטחה עבור כולם, כן? או יתפרש כשמחה, well-being, רווחה עבור כולם. אז ככה אני הייתי אומרת שיש משהו קודם כל בתרגול מטה שהוא מאוד מאוד פנימי, כן, התרגול של הכוונה והתרגול של שינוי דרך ההסתכלות. אז אנחנו, יש לנו כאן אמצעי, כן, אנחנו משתמשות ומשתמשים באמצעי של הדבר הזה של אני שולחת מטה אליך ואני שולחת לך את מה שטוב, כן, כדי להביא את כולם ביחד, כן, אז אני משתמשת בזה, זה איזשהו אמצעי על מנת גם לשנות את החוויה הפנימית, כן? גם לטפח את דרך הראייה הזאת של לראות אחרים ואחרות ולראות את החוויה באופן כללי, את כל התופעות באופן מיטיב, כן? אז זה ככה, זה שינוי כזה, הטיפוח של הכוונה הזאת ושל דרך ההסתכלות הזאת בשפה שדיברנו עליה. וגם ההבנה שככל שאני עושה את זה, כן? אני גם מבינה יותר ויותר איך החוויה שלי מובנית, כן? התרגול מטה עצמו, כמו שעכשיו עם השאלה שלך אנחנו רואות ורואים, חושף, כן? את ההבניה של החוויה, כן? בגלל זה הקשר הזה באמת על הריקות שנמשיך לדבר עליו לאורך הימים. וגם דרך התרגול הזה אני משנה, אני כל הזמן הדגשתי, העבודה היא כאן, אבל אני משנה יותר מאשר רק את החוויה הפנימית שלי, מכיוון שאני לא באמת בלתי נפרדת. אז זה יכול להיות מאוד מעניין להביא כאן, הייתי אומר, את התובנה של הריקות שאתה מביא, כן, לתוך התרגול מטה, וזה אומר, כן, מותר לי להשתמש בהבנה. אני יכולה להגיד, כן, אני מאחלת או שולחת טוב לכל היצורים והיצורות, כן? ולפעמים הטוב הזה יהיה מוגדר על פי ההבנה שלי של מה טוב ומה נעים, וזה בסדר. ויחד עם זאת אני גם מחזיקה ומחזיק את הידיעה שזה לא אותו דבר בשביל כולם, כן? ואז מה שאני שולחת הוא לא מאוד מאוד מצומצם, אלא יותר רחב, כן? מה שאני מאחל ומאחלת הוא לא מאוד מצומצם, הוא יותר רחב. וזה שוב המשחק עם גם מה שהולם, כן? זה שוב הדבר, מה מתאים עכשיו? כן? מה מתאים עכשיו? אולי עכשיו אני מביאה מטה לעצמי באופן מאוד מאוד ספציפי, ואולי אני פשוט אם אני מאחלת לעצמי את מה שאני צריכה עכשיו, כן, אני מרגישה עכשיו, אני צריכה עכשיו יותר מרחב, כן, או יותר יציבות, כן, אז לפעמים זה מאוד נוגע, או מישהי אחרת, כן, שאני יודעת מה הסיטואציה שלה, ולפעמים זה משהו הרבה יותר רחב, כן, שתחיה ותחיה בחופש. זה עונה לך? כן? כן? יופי, תודה.
So, maybe the first thing to say is you can also use Vedana as a way of just checking in. What do you feel would be the right thing to do right now? So, we have half an hour for some walking, or we could have that you stay and we'll explore a few more questions. So, basically, it's up to you to feel like what's actually going to be most supportive for your practice. Yeah. Are we recording this part as well? So people will have access to this. So even if you don't hear it now, you can hear it later. All right. Thank you. Yeah.
Is that concentration? That was the first question, which is short. Upadana, how is it different from Pana? Like, I realize it's the link between Pana and Upa. So what is it? Maybe you'll answer that.
So upadana, so you know the word dana, which is generosity, that whole thing. A dana is not dana, and up is extremely not, very much not. Yep. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And maybe I'll just add that the way we speak, we often don't make like tanha and upadana are two links, one after the other in the chain of dependent origination, but we often, because they are so mixed together, we usually don't make a distinction. Yeah, so in English we'll say craving and clinging together. Yeah, and they both create this movement of the push-pull. Yeah? And the next link in the chain is becoming. Yeah, becoming bhava. Yeah.
And there was a second part to this question, and then there's a few other people as well. Great. Yeah, so this question is, just wondering, did I actually not... So the first question, for the recording's benefit at least, was what's the difference between tanha and upadana? And this next question is related to additional ways that we can practice vedana and how it can support an understanding of emptiness and how it also relates to anicca and how anicca reveals the empty nature of something. So, I mean, I'm guessing there may well be an infinite number of ways of practicing with Vedana, right? Because it's a very subtle appearance that comes into being. And so so we could say there's only one way of practicing Vedana, there's infinite numbers of ways of practicing with Vedana, it all kind of comes down to the same thing. And you can add in this different flavor, which is to say, this moment is empty of the Vedana that is applied to it. You know, this moment is free of this thing. So empty, at this stage in the retreat at least, I would think the most best way of saying is not fixed any one way. Yeah, no experience is fixed any one way, and no experience has its own Vedana. You know, as I was saying, you know, different people in the same room will have a different Vedana towards the temperature. Right, but even us over time will have a different reference point towards that Vedana. So it really depends on us through that period of time. But even how we meet that experience affects how that Vedana actually gets, you know, renewed and reevaluated. So it's a dependently arising phenomena, any dependently arising phenomena must be empty because it depends on all these other phenomena which are not reliable and they change, they're anicca. So anicca is an introduction into this principle of emptiness, but actually they're empty even if it wasn't anicca, they would still be empty because they depend on all of these other things. So there's many, many ways that we can explore this teaching, and yeah, we will take time and we will open it out and touch on more of that.
Okay, so we had
Matan? Okay, yes. Want to take this?
I don't mind.
Do you want me to?
Okay. You want me to go?
Well, no, I'm saying, do you want to? Or?
I can.
Okay. No, but do you want to? That was the question.
I've got a neutral Vedana about it. Yeah, I'm happy either way.
Yeah. It's up to you. If you.
It's up to me. Yeah. Okay. I'll just go so that we have time for the other questions.
Yeah. Just make it short. That's all.
That's what you're worried about. Shall I do it in English so that you understand? Yeah. I'll do it in English. Is everyone okay with English if I use English? Yeah. Oh, yes. So. Did anyone not hear the question? Let's start with that. Okay, I'll repeat it briefly for the recording. So the question is about the neutral Vedana and feeling that it's a really rich ground, yeah, and maybe the one that's most discriminated against, or because we just don't notice it because our minds are programmed to just ignore it. Yeah, so we just don't notice that it's there, and finding it quite fascinating to bring interest. And then kind of contemplating different ways to work with the neutral Vedana. One is that when we bring attention to it, we actually notice that it changes. Yeah? Yeah, so we can say it's neutral because there's no attention. I'm answering as I'm repeating the question. Yeah. Once we bring attention to something, and Nathan was touching on that, the act of giving our attention actually can have a pleasant frequency to it, even if it's a very subtle pleasantness. And that's, you know, really interesting. Yeah, really interesting. There's also a pleasantness in the attentiveness. Yeah, so yeah, it's something we can attune to. Another way is to look at something and say, this has a neutral Vedana, but then to start to pay attention to the details of it, and then it kind of opens up to more Vedana. So this is interesting also in relation to how experience is built up, that we think there is a thing and this thing has a Vedana, but then we start to explore it through the Vedana practice and say, this thing is actually constructed, is built up from all these other things. Yeah, a body sense is made up of all these different body sensations, for example, and they might have a multitude of Vedanas. And then the third possibility that you were exploring is, or the question kind of was around, well, if we actually think, is the neutral Vedana the kind of more realistic Vedana? Because, it doesn't kind of fixate something so much into pleasant or unpleasant. It's an interesting exploration. I would say keep exploring that. But like my sense right now, and part of why I wanted to answer this in English is I'm curious to see if Nathan will say something, like have a different take on it, is that one of the interesting things about the Vedanas is, one is that they allow us, when we tune into experience at that level, it opens up a lot of freedom and a lot of insight into how experience is fabricated. It also opens up a lot of possibilities for peacefulness and calm. It's part of why it becomes pleasant. Because at that level, there's a lot less activity, yeah, construction, fabrication going on. Yeah? So it opens up that. At that level, and it also really frees us. I sometimes call the Vedana the get out of jail card in the Monopoly game. You know, like we're imprisoned in something, and then we go to the Vedana, and it's just like, we've gotten out of prison. Yeah, because at this level of experience, there's a lot less problem. Yeah, even if it's still unpleasant. Yeah? Even if it's still unpleasant. So where was I going with this? So I would say that I would say that's the primary interest with the Vedana practice. And the neutral Vedana as well is not fixed. Yeah? It's changes, it's constructed. We can learn, we can train to see things that are, it's part of what happens with practice, that are seemingly neutral as beautiful. Yeah? That kind of something that we develop in the practice. So I wouldn't kind of put it into a too much of a limitation. I wouldn't reify anything as that's the nearest thing, but actually, like, what does it open up? Let's explore it. Let's see what happens through that lens.
It's not more real than
I don't see it that way, yeah? But I don't know if you have something else to say.
Yeah, I mean, real is a real tricky word, isn't it? But I mean, it's not more empty than the other ones, and it doesn't reveal more emptiness than the other ones, in my opinion, yeah. But it might still be, and I think that you're really right to kind of feel that way, it could well be the one to pay more attention to. Mm. Yeah. Might well be the much richer soil, both in terms of, like, really totally neglected, you know, and also perhaps the most subtle thing, and that direction towards the subtle can be a really great support. Thank you.
Okay, don't let, you had a question before, right? You still have one?
Okay, great. So another beautiful three-part question that I'll try and relate to and answer as we go through. So the first one is thoughts, and that they have a Vedana. And I would say, yeah, absolutely. So thoughts, emotions, they're kind of talked about as being the sixth sense door that we experience the world through, the five physical agreed upon kind of senses. And also thoughts are a sense maker and responder, you know, to that. And there are definitely enjoyable thoughts and unenjoyable thoughts. Thoughts it's nice to think, usually. Thoughts about generosity, Thoughts about gratitude, thoughts about appreciation, those kinds of thoughts are nice thoughts. They're really enjoyable. They're good for us. They're good for the world. And they feel good to do. They have a pleasant Vedana to them. Skillful, wholesome thinking is not a bad thing. Yeah, part of what we're doing in the metta, cultivating pleasant Vedana-based thinking. There's also very unpleasant thinking in the experience, and we will also have that at times. Right. Okay, so does that feel all right? We say, yes, they definitely have a Vedana. I'm remembering the third point, and somehow I've overlooked the second.
You are connected.
Yes. Yeah, so this idea, to me, is just that the only place this Vedana is appearing is in this consciousness. It could be related to, you know, it would be nice if that person were happy from my side. It looks like that's what would be the nice thing. So I'm kind of projecting what's the situation for them. So it's still, you know, I'm meaning it in that very broad sense to me. And as we had the earlier question, even if you're an infant that has, you know, prior to a sense of self, as we might really call it, it still has a reference point. And it's like prodding me with a stick. That's nice. Oh, no, now it's not nice. Why? What happened? It was a different me? Well, yeah, in a sense, it was. Different me, different Vedana, different moment, you know. So, yeah, that's all of that. The third question is like a broad question, and we kind of come more towards that territory as we go on for now. So we're talking about, you know, Vedana in the world, and should we lead to actions, the things that we should do, not do, and things like that. So it's really at this point, I would say, we're trying this as a meditation practice. Some meditation practices transfer out into the world and they're incredibly useful. Some of them just fall flat on their face and it's a completely useless way to live a life, right? And we will talk about, okay, which ones convert well, which ones convert with a bit of work, and which ones, just don't even bother, you know, it's much better just to do something else. So yeah, we want to still be active and engaged in the world, responding to what appears to be unpleasant, painful, needing addressing, and also to respond well to what seems beautiful and delightful and good for others. Yeah, so that we don't fall into this patterns of despair, and we don't fall into patterns of, you know, jealousy. You know, oh, someone's having the good stuff. That shouldn't that come to me? You know, it's like, oh no, I'm really happy that you're getting that opportunity, and now I will join in rejoicing with you in that joy. So I think, does that kind of speak a little bit to that space? And we will definitely come more towards it the latter part of the retreat.
Yeah, and maybe I would encourage you to, if it's still relevant, bring that question also to a group, because there's more to explore there, at my senses, but we're really running out of time now.
Yeah, if it feels helpful.
If it feels helpful. Because the noticing the Vedana opens up possibilities, so we're not limited in that automatic response, chain reaction, but actually we can actually respond more skillfully to what needs our attention. Yeah, when we're aware of that impact. Okay, well, we're really running out of time. Well, we had a question.
No, it's pretty much time to go out, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So if you, yeah, it would be good because we have...
I suppose the thing just to say is, anyone's question relevant for them to be able to do this practice today? That could be like a, you don't know. Do you feel like it would be helpful for your practice today? That's what I mean.
I think it's small, but okay. It's okay, I can...
No. I mean, if it feels like it would be helpful, let's do a small adjustment.
It's just
a
clarifying about
Great. Yeah. So we don't say neutral, and I may have done, and I apologize for that. We say neither nor. So there are things which are pleasant, things which are unpleasant, classified as, and there are things which are neither classified as pleasant nor classified as unpleasant. Neither nice nor not nice. So, for example, at this point in time, there's some location of your body which probably hasn't called any attention from you, despite having nerve endings, this whole week. You know, it just hasn't said, hey, I'm here. you know, we haven't given it any attention. Maybe it's like the side of your leg, or you know, some back of the head, or inside of the elbow, you know. And then you start paying attention to it. It's like, oh, that's nice, actually, to bring the attention there. So it's a little bit similar to like a blank canvas can be, you know. And it's like, oh, let's paint attention onto here and let it come alive. So we give our attention to something which is overlooked, maybe even misunderstood, you know, not appreciated, or even thought to be boring. Yeah, well, there's no need to pay attention to that. It doesn't need anything, you know. And so it's kind of in that realm. That's what we mean by the neither nor, or we may say at times the neutral. But that neutral space is wide and expansive, and it might get narrower and narrower as we pay attention and say, actually, everything is subtly pleasant or subtly unpleasant. You know, and maybe this space in between, it does or it doesn't exist. And once you bring attention, it seems to move in some direction depending on that way we pay attention. So it's a really interesting, rich area where we can really get to notice how I pay attention really matters to experience. Thanks. Thanks for that. Okay. So, again, enjoy the practice today, whatever it unfolds to be. And, yeah. See you soon.